It's my pleasure to welcome here again, Jenna Sherry.
Thanks so much, Joe. It's great to be back.
It's really great to have you back here. So people, if you are not familiar, Jenna Sherry is a violinist who was born and raised here in New Orleans and is the artistic director of Birdfoot Festival, the local chamber music festival that's now starting its sixth season here in New Orleans, which is crazy. But it's like you guys are well established now. And how does it feel?
Oh, it's great. It's, you know, every year when the festival rolls around, it's a really exciting moment. Mm. And this year, as many of your listeners will know, we expanded hugely with the Mini Ligeti Festival that happened in February. Mm. And there was an artist residency in October. So there's been, you know, this is sort of, I would say, maybe best year yet. You know, it's hard to say that. But with every year, you know, there's more exciting. Yeah. Projects. And I think it's fueled by, you know, the feedback we get from the community. I was out the other day and someone sort of came up to me and said, thank you for Birdfoot. And, you know, it's those moments where you think, okay, this is why we're here 6 years later, is because of that fantastic feedback, fantastic support from the community, that people really love the music that we love.
And you bring in artists from kind of all over the, you know, world.
Absolutely.
To come in together, and it's mostly a return cast of characters from last year.
There's a fantastic group of artists, several new artists, including Israeli pianist Yael Weiss and Irish clarinetist Carol McGonnell, as well as our composer in residence this year, Patrick Castillo. And there's also lots of returning artists, including Thai British pianist Prach Bunda Schoolchuk, violinist Christopher Tong from the Borromeo Quartet, violinist Karen Kim. Let's see, Icelandic cellist Sayun Thorsteinsdottir, and more and more and more. Just every one of them is fantastic, and it's such a privilege to be working with them.
Yeah, I didn't mean to put you on the spot. You didn't say everybody's name as though like it's going to be like, oh, wait, you didn't mention me. This year you have a composer coming in, which is the first year you've done that, correct?
It's actually the second, yeah. Last year, well, we sort of doubled up because one of our pianists is also a composer.
That's right.
So we premiered Prach Bunda Schoolchuk. So we premiered one of his pieces last year, and he was our first official composer in residence, and Patrick is the second. So this is starting to become a tradition, which is a wonderful tradition, because I think, you know, there's a lot of things that Birdfoot believes in. And I think the special thing about Birdfoot is that it's you know, it's about the concerts, and it's about sharing the music we really believe in with audiences, but it's also about bringing musicians together, especially musicians who are entrepreneurial and starting, you know, festivals and organizations and ensembles, and thinking about the future of classical music and how we as musicians, you know, help this music, help keep it relevant to audiences and listeners in the world today and in the future. So Birdfoot really tries to bring these artists who are working in this way together and let them exchange ideas and share and collaborate. And so in a way, that's, you know, what our rehearsal residency is about. And I was thinking about it today, and I think a great analogy is sort of, you know, great food and cooking, which is something that anyone in New Orleans will understand. And I think in a very similar way to great food, and you think of something like the slow food movement, Birdfoot really believes that the best art comes when artists have time to work. Mm-hmm. So we try and build that in, and we think that the results that come out of it for the audience are, you know, you can taste them, you can feel them. It just makes a huge difference.
Yeah. So, okay, let's jump into the festival here. We have, you have so many different concerts that you're doing. There's like the three kind of big ones, and then there's a bunch of kind of smaller ones along the way.
Yeah, absolutely. I'll sort of run through. We kick off with a lunchtime concert on Tuesday the 30th, which is downtown, and then that evening is the musical feast, and then the next day, which is May 31st, is the first big concert at Cafe Istanbul, which we're calling Per Aspera ad Astra. Mm-hmm. And for those of you who don't know, that translates to is through hardship to the stars. And this is actually a concert inspired by the Golden Record, which is a time capsule of music and sounds from Earth, as well as pictures and other things, that was engraved on a gold record and attached to the Voyager space capsule, and is now somewhere in interstellar space, the furthest thing that we have ever launched into space. And, you know, it's sort of a greetings to the universe. Like if, you know, if there are intelligent beings out there and they find it, this is a portrait of Earth. And something about that I've always found really inspiring. So we're going to play a lot of music from it and then sort of take inspiration from the concept and take it further. And that will include a brand new piece just written by our composer in residence, Patrick Castillo, titled Living is Easy with Eyes Closed. And bonus points if you catch the reference.
And it's also, it has Bach and Beethoven and Stravinsky.
Yes, and some Dutilleux and Vasque. So lots of different music, some classics and some beautiful 20th century music.
I have to admit, I've been recently introduced to Vasques about a year ago, and I tend to play them almost every other week on the show.
I had no idea.
It's not whatever. I don't want to sound pompous or something, but it's like it seems like so much is being recorded that it wasn't, you know, constantly there's new recordings of his music coming out, and it's just, you know, and the duo for violin and cello is just I love it.
It's
really
gorgeous.
Excited to hear it.
It's gorgeous.
And the Dutilleux.
Yeah, Dutilleux Ainsi la Nuit. Yeah, which fits in really well with this theme. It's I'm quite excited. We're going to be performing this piece on two concerts, which is not that you'll want to miss any of them, but in very different contexts. And it fits in perfectly with this program because he has the most exquisite names for the movements. I mean, the music itself is beautiful, but things like, you know, nocturne, and it's really night music. The title Ainsi la Nuit translates to, you know, thus the night or so the night. And so you can really imagine this as his portrait of what the night is about. So there's one titled Constellations, another titled, two titled Nocturnes. And then in between them, he has these little interludes that he calls parentheses, which is I've never seen in any other music, this sort of gorgeous. And the extraordinary thing about the piece is it's continuous, roughly 20 minutes long, but it's made up of all these short, tiny movements sort of linked together with these parentheses. So it's just a gorgeous, one of the sort of masterpieces of 20th century music. Mm-hmm. So I'm really, it's a dream to play this.
Not an easy one to play either.
Perhaps, no.
No, I mean, that's what's exciting about
but,
it.
But it's entirely worth it.
Yeah, oh, absolutely.
Entirely worth every minute. And this is the other wonderful thing about Birdfoot is there's the time to dig into this type of music. Mm-hmm. So it's actually, you know, music that's not performed that often. Mm. So it'll be a treat because for those reasons.
Yeah, I mean, and also, so I wanted to ask you this, the Stravinsky Rite String, the Adoration of the Earth. Now, is this an arrangement that has been done for?
So Stravinsky, as you know, the listeners will know, the Rite of Spring is, you know, one of these incredibly famous pieces that was premiered in 1913, and then people famously sort of, you know, ran out and rioted. You know, it's hard to tell exactly how exaggerated those stories are, but it makes a great story, any art that provokes that sort of reaction. So Stravinsky wrote it for orchestra and then also arranged it for piano forehand.
Okay.
So two pianists, one piano, and it's intense, and they are in very close quarters. And I've heard that in order to do it justice, they have to sort of bump into each other and push each other out of the way. So you know, almost mimics the storyline of the piece. But also actually some of the Stravinsky was included on the Golden Record, so that was one of the selections. Yeah.
That's what's so cool about it. That and Jimmy Carter's voice, I think.
Was it his voice? I know there was a message, but maybe I didn't realize it was actually recorded in voice. Yeah,
so.
It's a beautiful message. Absolutely, so much full of sort of hope and this sense of trying to capture, you know, what is the best of humanity? And I think this is really something that inspired this program. I think it's a year that, no matter what your political convictions, has been a just complete roller coaster. And I think for artists, this last year has really made a lot of us look inside and really think about, you know, what is our role as artists, as musicians in the world? And I think for me, you know, it's provoked a sort of a thinking about how that fits into sort of how I program festivals and my own concerts. And one thing I love about art is that art can ask the difficult questions, the really difficult and important questions. You know, about what makes us human and what is it to be human? What is it to relate to each other? What is it we live for? Like, you know, the big stuff. and And we can do that without providing easy answers. So I think a lot of this year's Birdfoot Festival program tries to get at some of these difficult questions. So I should move then to talk about the rules of the dance concert, which will be on June 2nd. And because this is another one where we're sort of, you know, taking inspiration from tough questions, and we're calling it Rules of the Dance sort of as a nod to the way that each of us participates in interactions, you know, with our fellow human beings in groups and social groups and society. And there are all of these, you know, there's sort of rules to how these work, you know, they go by different names, sometimes etiquette, sometimes other things, and they change and they shift. Mm. And sometimes people break the rules. And sometimes things go really badly, and sometimes they go beautifully. And so we're exploring various angles of this with a bunch of really fun music. This is a program I'm really excited about, actually. Yeah. We're doing Catch by Thomas Addis, which is theatrical.
Second Addis piece you've done, right?
It is, yeah. I'm an Addis fan, I'll admit.
You're an Addis addict? Sorry.
Something like that.
That's a bad joke.
It's okay. We've been trading musical puns.
We'll
reveal some of them with chagrin later on the show.
Sure.
So we're doing Addis Catch, which is very theatrical. I won't give away the show, but okay. Let's just say that a member of the ensemble is sort of reeled in and caught. So it's a lot of fun, and I won't give away anything more than that. And then after that, we're doing something completely different, which is a suite of Couperin dances. So these are dances from the court of Louis XIV, which probably had one of the most strictly codified social structures that has ever existed. And the fascinating thing to me is that the members of the court would demonstrate their social standing and their understanding of the hierarchy and etiquette and prove their standing and maintain their prestige through dancing. So this is music that was written to reinforce these structures and rules in a beautiful way. And I find this really fascinating, and the music is gorgeous. So I'm really looking forward to this.
Okay, and so then you're doing the Rite of Spring, or just that one movement?
The entire Rite of Spring. So we're just doing one selection on the Café Istanbul concert, but it will be the entire thing. So as most people know, this is the story of an ancient, it traces the story, it was originally written as a ballet, of an ancient community in pagan Russia that, to ensure the arrival of spring and the success of the crops, chooses a young maiden to dance herself to death as a sacrifice. So it's a pretty sort of brutal and horrific and visceral music. But it evokes that sense of, you know, the sacrifice of the individual for the whole. And, you know, is it voluntary or is it consensual? You know, we don't really know. And that question being open-ended is, I think, one of the things that makes the piece so powerful.
Mm. So the last work that we haven't mentioned is The Hunt Quartet by a composer.
Jörg Widmann,
which I was going to mispronounce. So thanks for beating me to
it. No problem.
I just say I'm not familiar with Widmann's work. So
Jörg Widmann is very interesting. He is simultaneously, which is very rare, he is a celebrated clarinet player and composer, and also does a lot of work as a conductor and sort of leading orchestras.
Yeah, I've seen him, and he does like Mozart, like concertos and stuff. Like
absolutely,
that.
Yeah. Absolutely. And all of his music I've heard so far, I've really enjoyed. And this Hunt Quartet fits in really well with our program because it takes inspiration from sort of, you know, the hunting theme. Anyone who might have attended part of the Ligeti Split Festival or... Mm-hmm. And our discussions about the sort of the horn call and its relationship to hunting and the forests of medieval Europe will recognize that in this piece. So it sort of starts out with this idea, and these, you know, Widmann writes in his program notes that it's these, you know, hunters full of bravado, sort of swaggering and you know, full of confidence, riding off. And then things get slightly twisted and go slightly wrong throughout the hunt, and the hunters potentially become the victims themselves in ways that are not entirely clear. And then at the end, there's a twist and they turn on one of the members of the ensemble. So it's a pretty, again, it's not exactly a light piece, but it's done with sort of a tongue-in-cheek humor that
sure.
will
keep
it from being too. So it fits in well with the rest of the concert. So we're very much excited about that concert.
And that brings us to the final gala concert, which, and I should say, the first concert is a Cafe Istanbul.
Yep.
Second one, that's at the CAC, or the...
The Friday night concert is the CAC, but yeah. we've actually missed two events in between. So we'll backtrack to Thursday, June 1st. Also, at the CAC, we'll be doing Birdfoot backstage, which is always an audience favorite, and actually one of my favorite events of the festival. And we're doing it this year on Mendelssohn's magnificent second string quintet. Mm. And for some reason, I find that Mendelssohn doesn't get played nearly as often as you would think. Mm. But his two string quintets, and particularly the second one, are just absolutely unbelievable. They sort of have this lust for life. And at the same time, this quintet has this incredibly dark, moving, so maybe dark's not quite the word, but soulful and reverent slow movement that I think is one of the most spectacular things ever. So we're going to be exploring sort of what makes this music so great and sort of taking it apart with a live audience and getting to know it. And that concert is also sponsored and in partnership with WWNO 89.9 FM and their new classical station. So we're looking forward to recording this for a future broadcast. Oh, and then Thursday night after Birdfoot backstage, so you can make it a doubleheader, we're going to be doing a special late night set at the Ace Hotel, New Orleans. So that's downtown on Carondelet Street in the Three Keys venue at 10 p.m., which we're calling Late Night Right. And this will have excerpts of both the Hunt Quartet and the Stravinsky on it. So there's lots of opportunities. And this is a fun venue because, you know, here's a place where, you know, if you want to get up and dance to the Stravinsky, you can.
That's you know, I haven't been to the Ace Hotel yet. I mean, everybody talks about it.
It's a lovely music venue, really lovely music venue and great atmosphere. So we're really excited about this. So we really encourage your listeners to come out and see us and have a drink and have fun.
Yeah. Okay. So that takes us to the final gala concert. And we've discussed two of the works. You just discussed the Mendelssohn, the quartet number two. And then
quintet number two.
Sorry, quintet number two.
No problem.
And then the Ainsi.
Ainsi la nuit.
By Dutilleux. The last one, which I haven't discussed, is the Brahms trio for piano, clarinet, and cello.
Yes. Well, this is just one of those, you know, sort of masterpieces. It's one of these pieces that Brahms wrote at the very end of his life. He had officially retired as a composer, which is quite rare. But I think Brahms was such a perfectionist that I think for him it was sort of a relief to have achieved, you know, sort of a really successful career and then say, okay, that's it, I'm done. So he told his publisher he was retiring, and then he met this incredible clarinet player. And it totally reinvigorated his last few years. And he produced the clarinet trio, the clarinet quintet, two sonatas, which are some of the masterpieces of the entire musical repertoire. So I'm really looking forward to having this piece on the program, played by just a fantastic group of musicians. So it's, not to miss concert. That the final gala concert is three huge masterpieces, and it's at the George and Joyce Wien Jazz and Heritage Center over on Rampart Street, which is a gorgeous new venue. If anyone hasn't been there, they have this beautiful wooden concert hall that's just been opened a year or two, and so we're really looking forward to performing there.
So you were kind of mentioning that some of the motivations were just kind of what it means to be involved in the arts right now and sort of during this kind of a political time. And I'm curious how you feel about the state of classical music in general right now, as a musician, as somebody who does this for a career.
Well, I have to say, you know, it's been a rough year to be an artist. It's been a rough year to be a musician, I think. You know, a lot of soul searching for artists I know of trying to figure out what is it that we do and what does it mean in this time when so many things are so upsetting. And you want to feel like you can do something to make the world a better place. And so I think it really makes you start to ask some big questions about what you about your practice as an artist. About the state of music, For me personally, I am very optimistic. There's a lot of tough roads ahead. The state of arts funding in the U.S. is not pretty. The budget that the government has proposed has, you know, is proposing to eliminate some of our most major arts foundations and funders. I very much hope that our representatives and senators will not stand for this, and that we'll be able to, you know, make enough noise as a country to stand up for the importance that art plays in all of our lives. You know, particularly anyone who lives in New Orleans knows, you know, that people and communities come together around music and around art, and art helps us ask the big questions. And art, I think, when you interact with art, you learn not just about who you are, but art is one of those few things that becomes a that can be transformative. It allows you, it's one of the few mediums that allows you to step into someone else's shoes and experience the world from a different perspective. And if there's one thing we need, you know, in the world, to produce empathy, understanding, you know, it's that experience of what does the world look like from someone else's perspective, and art can do that. So, you know, I'm very... Things aren't, you know, the signs have not been pretty, but I am also very encouraged by the number of artists and musicians sort of, you know, speaking out and being inspired to be more vocal about their values and their human values, and their vision of the future. So in terms of the state of music, you know, I see also a lot of very exciting, encouraging things going on in New Orleans. I don't know another year when I've, you know, been in New Orleans in May and seen more events happening. You know, the number of concerts and chamber music and opera and events, I have to say, I find that very inspiring and very exciting. New Orleans right now is just overflowing with classical music, and especially, and a lot of contemporary music. So there's a lot to be optimistic about, a lot to be hopeful about. So what can I say? You know,
there's four contemporary living composers. You have, I guess, I think I counted right.
On this
festival. And how does it work when you? This is just a personal. I've always wondered when you, because it's easy to be like, okay, we're gonna do this Brahms piece, and you know, it's not like you can talk to the composer and see, you know, you can't just call it Brahms and be like, what's up, you know.
But if only.
how does something like that work? How do you get in contact with?
You know, it's a long and wonderful and also difficult process. I'll be honest, I have a list of pieces I want to program that is very long, and composers I want to program. And I think one thing I feel very strongly about as a musician is that it's sort of a, you know, an artistic responsibility of musicians, classical musicians in particular, to both play the classics and the Brahms and the Mendelssohn and help people connect with them today, but also to, you know, to play and to perform the music being written today that we think is great. And there's so much of it. There are so many incredible composers writing today, and giving voice to, you know, timeless human emotions, but also responding to things that feel very contemporary and feel very relevant. So it's always a very tough choice. And so I sort of start with this long wish list. And then it's, you know, it's always sort of a jigsaw puzzle of what fits in a given program theme and you know, what fits lengthwise and with the number of musicians. But I'm very excited to be featuring some of Patrick Castillo's music. He's a fascinating composer and also a fascinating and passionate sort of communicator of music. The one event I think I didn't mention is that Patrick is going to be giving a introduction to the music on Before the Rules of the Dance concert at the CAC. And I think for anyone who's interested in music, this is a not to miss event, because Patrick usually travels around and, you know, does things for organizations like Music at Menlo and Chamber Music at Lincoln Center and organizations of, you know, that sort of international stature. So he's an incredible communicator as well as composer. And the other music on the composer on the program, well, you know, I'm a fan of Addis. And Catches is just a fun piece, and Dutilleux is one of those masterpieces I've always wanted to play, so I have to say that one's a little selfish because I'm going to be playing it. So it's a mix. And I also take requests from the artists. So every year, you know, I sort of send a call out to the artists and say, send me your ideas, and I get lists back and I try and work those in as possible. So it's a process.
Anything that somebody requested that made the cut this year, or is this a...
Addis Ketch was one of the requests. So it was one of those, you know, it had been on my list, it was on their list. I'd have to go back and think of it. Now it's all sort of so integrated, but that for sure is one.
Yeah. Well, Jenna, this has been so great having you come in and talking about the festival and talking about the state of kind of classical music in your mind. And I wonder if there's anything else that you wanted to mention or...
Well, I think the only other thing I wanted to mention actually is just to give a shout out to the enormous team that makes Birdfoot happen. We've had volunteers around the city putting up posters and distributing bookmarks. And just to mention to your audience, we're going to be doing a drawing for a free Birdfoot season ticket, which is actually quite amazing. And we're doing it based on a sort of a fun social media campaign of identify the location. Where is Birdfoot? So we've been putting up pictures of Birdfoot posters and locations all over the city. So check us out on Twitter and Facebook and get your name in there.
Yes. Well, great. So if you listening want to find more information about Birdfoot, you can go to birdfootfestival.org. And that has all the information about not only this season and all the artists involved and what they're performing, what instruments they play. It's also got information about Birdfoot, the program. It's got every festival that you have, which
plus
is really
some new videos.
With some new videos. Okay, good to know. And it's a lot of fun to check out. Yeah. So, and I'm personally very much looking forward to the sixth season.
Super. Well, so. We thanks so much for having me, and we can't wait to see you at the show, and we want to know what you think. So come talk to us. Thanks.
Thanks, Jenna. Okay, that's Jenna Sherry, the artistic director of Birdfoot Festival, and violinist.